Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. CPA Trendlines presents a production of the Center for Accounting Transformation.
Hello, and welcome to Transformation Talks. I'm Donnie Shimamoto, Inspiration Architect for the Center for Accounting Transformation, and I'm your guest host today. During these episodes, Bill Pemzak normally would visit with a spectrum of firm practitioners who are successfully navigating changes within their firms and are real-life examples of transformation in the accounting profession. Today with me is James Ross, the Corporate Social Responsibility Executive at Buzzacott, an accounting firm based in London and a member of the Prime Global Firm Association. Welcome to the show, James.
Hi, Donnie. Thanks for having me. Nice to speak to you today.
It's a pleasure to have you, and I'm really glad that you were willing to do this podcast with me because I think you hold a very unique position at the firm that you work with. After we did our prep call, I was thinking, I actually hope that this is a position we're going to see more often and not have this unique as our profession goes through this transformation. So can you share with our listeners some of the background on your firm and your position there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been with Buzzacott for about 5.5 years now. And I started in an admin role and worked to support some of our specific initiatives around philanthropy and volunteering. And probably about 2.5, coming on 3 years ago, I spoke with some of our sort of senior team and discussed how I would like to develop the program somewhat within the organization. And the reason for that is we've grown considerably over the last 5 years, and we're reaching, I believe in September this year, we'll be at about 550 team members.
Wow.
We offer services such as audit, tax, VAT, and a whole spectrum, corporate clients and individual clients and expats. So we've got a wide range of specialisms across the organization, and this role specifically is to work across teams, working alongside some of our professional support teams as well, to embed an ESG agenda, embed CSR into all that we do as an organization. And we're very much on the journey with that. I would never say that any organization can complete that, but we're really trying to take steps to do more and be better as an organization moving forward.
I like that. You know, I often feel like the firms were like the cobbler's children's problem, right? That we always tell our clients, oh, you need to do all this stuff, but we don't do it ourselves. And so
sure.
Having someone dedicated to this, I think, again, it's fairly unique that we see that. How did you get started in this role? Actually, before I ask that, I just remembered you said quite a bit of growth and you guys are at 500. Can you quantify what that quite a bit of growth is? Like what was that change or what was that growth?
So I think when I started, I think we were probably around 300 or so. And so in the space of about 5 years, we're coming towards doubling in size, say 40% growth in terms of our team members. And reflected in that is growth in our organization in terms of our profit margins and things as well. So we've seen a growth in clients, we've seen a growth in team, and as an organization, we were moving up, basically. We've gone from being one of the smaller mid-sized firms to one of the larger, and I think we're in the top 20 accounting firms in the UK now.
Wow, that's really interesting. And then how much of that is acquisition, merger acquisition versus organic growth? Do you know?
Not a question for me, unfortunately.
Okay, it's all right.
There's one to snip out there.
But I think still, I think that's a good story that you're saying, which is it's the move from a mid-sized firm up into a large firm and one of the top firms in your country.
Absolutely, and I think with that, we want to ensure that, I think, as you mentioned, we want to, kind of slightly cheesy phrase perhaps, we want to walk the walk before we talk the talk. We don't want to necessarily be delivering to clients something or an expectation that we're not actually able to do ourselves. And I think it's just about being really honest about where you are in that process and continuing to take the next steps to improve more widely across the organization.
Well, in your positions, you're not an accountant, right? And you said you started in the admin area, which and typically I think when people think of these like CSR, it's people, so they go, oh, that's HR. What's your background and why are you in this job? Can I just take any admin and have them do this? I mean, I think that's going to be the reaction when people say, oh, he's from admin. I can just assign it to an admin person, right? My office manager or somebody.
Sure. I think that I could see why people might think in that way, but to give some sort of context and perspective, I was very specifically taken on to do admin in this area within the organization. And I would say that people with a passion and an interest in this area, that's the great starting point. And you want to sort of leverage any individual within the organization that is interested in philanthropy, volunteering, social mobility, environmental causes, DEI. Anyone in the organization can contribute to that. But to give a bit of context to my background, I started in the charity sector. I worked in the charity sector for about 7 years or so in a fundraising organization, and then on a volunteer management capacity. So I had a real insight into the third sector and the charitable world. And from those experiences, I suppose I wasn't fully aware of what corporate social responsibility was. But as I became more aware of that, I could see how my skill set could be well utilized in a corporate environment. So that was at the point in which I thought I want to pursue a career in that level and use some of my skills, certainly philanthropically and in volunteer management, which is how I entered the organization. But at the point of entry, I had actually just started on a master's degree program specifically focused on corporate responsibility and sustainability at the University of London, Birkbeck College, with the view to sort of level up my skills, knowledge, and understanding, and also to give me the breadth of understanding of the business environment that I hadn't necessarily been exposed to. So it is actually a master's degree that sits within the business school, and everything from corporate governance to PR was covered in that. Mm-hmm. And I had a particular focus on more environmental challenges in my thesis. So my entry into the organization was alongside sort of that more rigorous academic understanding, as well as my sort of historic experiences within the third sector.
Excellent. And I'm glad you mentioned the governance, because I think that is the direct tie. A lot of times accountants will hear this and go, why is this us? Well, this actually falls into the corporate governance area. And you use several of the words from ESG, and so we know all of this ties back to ESG as well.
Sure.
Part of my question had been, this is typically we would see in HR. Are you part of the HR organization now, or how is this different from what the HR person does? Because is this something that they could just say, "Here, HR person, go do this"?
Yeah, I don't sit with HR, but I like to think I work closely with them and work alongside them. There are a couple of reasons why I think that's useful and of benefit to the organization, because HR absolutely deliver on a number of these areas, particularly looking at the diversity, equality, or equity and inclusion area because they're so heavily responsible for the intake of new staff members. And I would also bring into that the sort of well-being angle that they take care of within the organization. And my role actually sits separately from both the HR teams and the marketing and comms teams. I think sometimes this sits inside marcoms. And the real benefit to that is it enables sort of a sort of slightly external interrogation of those practices and a little bit of distance from what HR specifically want to focus on. And so while they absolutely deliver on it, and we have an equality, diversity, and inclusion forum, which all team members from across any team within the organization can contribute towards, and multiple people will sit on that, which includes our managing partner. He is very proactive in forwarding this agenda, which I think is super important for any organization. If that doesn't come from the top, it's never going to be embedded. And I really feel that my role complements that by, as I say, offering some interrogation of what we're doing and providing ideas from a slightly different perspective from perhaps the HR regulatory environment. Some of this is complementary. It's not necessarily regulated for, but it's about taking the next steps and being advanced beyond necessarily what we're regulated to do.
So I have the couple of things that I heard from you that I want to call out. Your role is really a complementary role. It's neither part of HR or part of the firm admin itself. And really your role is to bring in what I'm going to call diversity of perspective that it's not. And so it's also important, I think, that you are not an accountant, because we do have this tendency to look at things in the same way. So you're really balancing out both the traditional accountant and the HR professional in taking kind of this triple lens, if you will, in the way that you're looking at, maybe even quadruple if we add the traditional executive role in there. That's really interesting.
I think that's a really interesting way of describing, actually, and maybe not quite how I would have described it myself, but it kind of encapsulates what I try to do. Absolutely. And you're right, no, I'm not an accountant, but we absolutely benefit from bringing those wider perspectives from within the organization, because ultimately without that sort of diversity of thoughts, you're inevitably going to miss out on some opportunities. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's why I brought that up, because we've had that term diversity of thought has been thrown around a lot. And I think everyone goes, oh yeah, we just need people that think differently. But when this is, I think, a great example of some very distinct viewpoints that we're familiar with, that it is really when you bring all this together and your job is to question rather than just here's a solution or here's what's happening. It was just right to you mentioned in our prep call, a lot of it is you're just asking additional questions or saying like, have you looked at it this way or have you thought about this?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's certainly one element of it. And I think there is a solution focus, if we ever could say that we can solve some of these issues. Mm-hmm. I very much want to see outcomes and impacts and really hear the benefit that people are experiencing by introducing and continuing to raise the agenda for other people within the organization and actually encourage them to raise it for themselves, because ultimately our workforce are who make us a successful organization. And if we want our people to feel that they matter and that they're heard. So we take the HR, the senior management perspective, my perspective, but also part of that is always saying, what do you think, anyone and everyone within the organization? Why does this matter to you, and how can we make this better for you?
Mm-hmm. I like that again. That's basically the inclusion that we hear a lot in DEI. Everyone's voice, everyone, has a voice and feels like they've been included in as part of that decision, even if it's maybe not the decision that they want. They've at least had an opportunity to voice their thoughts on it.
Absolutely.
You mentioned the outcomes and impact, which I think is an important concept to look at, because when we look at a lot of ESG CSR reporting, that's what you're trying to do, is to say, this is the outcome of what we've done, or this is the impact we've had, whether it's on the firm itself or on the community. And it was actually the report. I actually saw Prime Global had pushed out, hey, here's a great example that the firm had shared this report. And so can you tell us a little bit more about that report, what is conveyed and why you publish it?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been producing our reports in this area for quite a number of years now. And I've wanted to sort of develop that over time. And I think that we're moving towards a more ESG style report, but I don't think we're entirely ready to commit to reporting as much in depth across all areas as we could be. So it's a build over time. And within that report, we really do focus on the S part of ESG, and we have a particular focus on our people, our community, and the environment. And that's how it's currently presented. And our people is very much looking at what we do and how we support the people that work within the organization. And that is absolutely around equality, diversity, inclusion. And it's very much looking at the well-being initiatives that we introduce as well. And what we're beginning to report in more detail is the makeup of our organization. Without that data and without the understanding of who we are, it's very difficult to make a tangible impact, to seek the underrepresented people within the organizations. And we want to communicate that as transparently as possible. And then our more external view, looking at the community, we've got a really long-standing community program. We've had a charitable fund that we support other organizations through. A percentage of the firm's profits from the partners is put towards that fund. And it's been next year, 2023, it will be the 20th anniversary. And that's sort of the heart of what we do philanthropically and through volunteering. And it's a way to fix some of our CSR initiatives to that fund. It gives people an opportunity to match their donations. So we're giving more specifically to causes that are relevant to and mean something to the people across all of our teams. And we also, our trustees will receive applications from charities, and we research organizations that we want to support much more locally to the community that we work within. And then environmentally, that's where we're placing a lot more focus at the moment on developing our understanding and getting a bit more rigorous data collection, so that hopefully as we move forward, we'll be able to fully understand our environmental impacts and actually see where we can make changes that will reduce our carbon footprint moving in the future.
Mm. I noticed that on the website that you guys also have a gender pay gap report and a diversity inclusion report. Can you tell me more about those two? And I think you also just said that there were, I think some of these, I'm trying to remember now when I looked at it, these are actually simpler as well, aren't they?
Sorry, what you mean?
These were kind of simpler to, not as complex as like a full CSR report.
So with the gender pay gap reporting, it's actually a requirement that we have got to submit this, file this report annually, and that's been since 2017. Any organization with a headcount over 250 needs to provide data on gender pay gap reporting within the organization. So that's something we've done since then, and I think it's a really valuable it's a valuable report for us to continually understand at one snapshot in time. This is collected from a date, and to ensure that we see trends as they change over time, help us to understand why that might be? Has there been a particular influx, or has there been more members of staff leaving at any given time? And so, yeah, it is a requirement, but it's really useful for us to sort of see, particularly, I think, when we talk about diversity and equality within the workplace, the gender issue has long been something that has needed to be addressed, certainly at a senior level. So that's particularly why we report on that. And that is something that the HR team lead on. And then our diversity reporting is supposed to complement, I think, what we're doing alongside the CSR report, but maybe more specific, just looking at that particular area.
Excellent. One of my takeaways from what you were just sharing on all three reports is really that, like, firms don't have to get all the way to ESG. There are other things, smaller things, scopes, maybe easy. And like you said, the CSR is a little, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's easier to be able to do something like that. So I think that's, because a lot of times I think people look at it and they go, man, it's this big thing and we're never going to do that. But there's graduated steps that they could probably take towards those.
Absolutely.
I feel like every firm should really be publishing reports like this, because the issues that you're mentioning, they're so critical today, globally. Like, me having spoken with different firms and regions throughout the world, we see this whole concept of this great resignation or great reset that's occurring. You hear that all around as well. And if firms were actually to use this as recruiting and retention, not just for employees, because we hear about the next generation is very purpose-driven. They want to make sure they're working for good, strong organizations, ethical organizations, but also from clients, and that the changing awareness around clients that I want to work with somebody more than that's going to just give me a report, right? My audit report or my tax return or whatever it might be. But do you have any advice for firms that want to start creating any of these types of reports for themselves?
Absolutely. And I think you're bang on the money when you say more firms should be sharing this kind of information. I think the very heart of responsible business and what I try to do is to be transparent. And I think that there can be some nervousness around sharing information that maybe isn't seen as being absolutely the very best it could be. Because as part of that process, you're learning where you need to make improvements. And you're also holding yourself accountable, putting something into the world to say where you're going to start making changes. And if it isn't perfect, and I don't think any firm could ever say that they are, communicating how you intend to improve upon that is just as important, because that engenders trust. I think it tells the clients you're working with, it tells your wider workforce that this is something that matters to you, and ultimately this is how you intend to make those changes. I think, and I've been guilty of this in the past, I really want to see lots of huge changes happening sort of now, and that's never going to happen, because it's such a huge beast, really, because there are so many different areas that you can, should look at to make these improvements. So being realistic about where you can actively make a change within your organization, and target 2, 3, 4 things that you really think you can do now and make progress on. Once that's become embedded within the organization, then you can take the next step and get a little bit deeper. I also think one of the most significant factors in all of this is, while corporate responsibility is absolutely seen as being a differentiator between organizations and giving a competitive advantage, we do not achieve this alone. And so looking at the wider business community and building networks and sharing information, sharing best practice, where you've succeeded, where you've had difficulties, is incredibly important. And I've been really privileged to have access to lots of different people through various networks locally to our business, where people have had really open conversations. And then, you know, this is a shared goal for society. It's not about making a quick book against a competitor. It's absolutely about sharing and moving this forward together. And yeah, you can't deny the fact that there's going to be a business case around do this better, and you're more likely to attract engaged team members. It's absolutely part of keeping people within the organization as well, because they see that they're working for an organization that actually takes this seriously, that it matters to, and actually takes them seriously and listens to their issues and what they would like to see changing. And we, like probably all organizations right now, need to keep doing that, listening to our team members and working with external parties to improve the experience of being employed by Buzzacots, and ultimately do better for the community, do better for our people, and make better environmental changes as well.
That's so powerful. And the things from what you just said, the things that really resonated with me were two things that you said. One, the concept of accountability, which I'll draw back again as accountants, that's part of our role, is to hold people accountable. And it's tied to this, what gets measured gets managed, right? Or you can't manage what you're not measuring. And so the importance of even getting a baseline measurement, where are we? And maybe you decide, I'm not going to publish this yet, but we're going to do things, having that, materializing the number, and now being able to track it and figure out what you're doing, even if at first internally, hopefully eventually getting to that external. The external reporting, I think, again, draws this concept back to us as a profession. This is why there's audits, you know, the whole trend around the audit and sustainability that's coming around, because people want to be able to trust. That was the second concept that you said that I think is super important, is this is a part of creating trust between not just the employer and the employee, but also the firm and or an organization and the broader community that you're a part of. And to shows that whole commitment, like you said, that we are committed to this. And it's also, well, we may not be doing that great, but this is what we're doing to make change or enact change to move forward. So I think it's super powerful, a lot of what you said in why the profession needs to be involved, and specifically firms need to take a look at this.
Great. Yeah, I absolutely agree. In our values, one of our key values is trust. And without that, that has to be internally and externally focused. Without that, you're not going to be successful, because we have very fortunate. We've got very long-standing clients that have been with us for years. And there's a reason for that, because I think they see the efforts that we're making. We try very hard to communicate that with them. And we also try to demonstrate that internally, that our team members are working for an organization that really does take this seriously. And I think that's a really super important point.
Well, I really want to thank you again for taking the time to help us understand this whole. We ended up talking a lot about ESG, even though that wasn't our original intent, but sure. The tie between ESG, CSR, D&I, like all of these things that are really kind of becoming part of it. And I think we've, hopefully for the listeners out there, we've done a good job in kind of showing them how this is really a part of the transformation of our profession, not just within the firm, but in the way that we interact and can impact, have a positive impact on the communities that we're working with. If people have questions for you, how can they contact you? Or are you open to them kind of contacting you to learn more about what you've done or what Buzzcott's doing?
Absolutely. So I suppose a great place is on LinkedIn. So I can be found on there with the sort of handle James-Ross-CSR. That's probably the easiest way, but a quick search in Google, James Ross Buzzacott, will probably find me quite easily.
Excellent, excellent. And for anyone that wants to reach me, I'm at Donnie ITK. That's my handle on pretty much all the social media, or you can reach me at Donnie S at improvetheworld.net. That's Donnie with a Y. Donnie S at hq.improvetheworld.net. This has been really great, James. I thank you for joining me for this edition of Transformation Talks and for sharing Buzzacott's story of transformation success and growth, along with your own transformation journey. If anyone would like to learn more about how you can enable this type of transformation in your firm, I encourage you to visit us at the Center for Accounting Transformation website. It's www.improvetheworld.net. The Center for Accounting Transformation provides business professionals with a network for utilizing innovations like the ones we've talked about that are ready for adoption, the training and resources necessary to apply those innovations, and an opportunity to engage the talent and community needed to further pursue innovative accounting practices that drive responsible and mindful business decisions. Find us again on the web at www.improvetheworld.net. And if you're interested in sharing your own transformation stories, please contact us through the website. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next Transformation Talks.
Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. We hope you'll rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts to help other accountants find our show more easily. For more information, you can go to CPATrendlines.com.